If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
I'd never seen anyone on the British Isles play lacrosse.
I did like they really leaned into it, though. It's a little bit Riverdale-y. Like, you've got the fact that she finds out she's really good at lacrosse and then becomes, like, the lacrosse captain and then saves people from a fire. Like, it's just, finds out her mom went to that school. Like, it's just such a lesson in suspending your disbelief that on some level I have to respect it because I'm like, okay.
So he shouldn't have been there at all. It was at our girls' school. What was he doing there all the time?
Yeah, why wasn't he at school?
Why wasn't he at school?
And just then he turns up for his lunch like at an all-girls school in like a sports car, which is completely normal.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Xbox Podcast. Today I'm joined by Karis.
Hello.
Neha.
Hi.
And Helen.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about Wild Child.
Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello, film fans. Welcome to FlixWatcher Podcast. Joining us remotely today, we have Karis and Neha. If you can please say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about your podcasts, what you do and who you are, please.
Hi, everyone. This is Neha. I'm one of the co-hosts of Not Having It All. I co-host it with Karis. And our podcast is about film. We talk about women in film specifically, so really kind of discussing not just films about women, but also women directors, women performers. And we also have a news and review section. So we talk about kind of upcoming releases, which admittedly has been hard during the pandemic. So it's been sort of like Netflix and Amazon and, you know, those sort of stuff recently. The whole premise of the show is sort of not having it all. So very chatty. We talk about a lot of different things. So that's our show.
Yeah, this year has been quite good for the, I guess, the underrepresented voices, I think, in the pandemic, because we haven't had the big James Bond, Marvel films have exploded. So that's given an opportunity for the Rocks and the smaller films that have been a lot more female-driven films. And I think it's represented in BAFTAs and the award seasons as well. Do you guys cover that at all in your show and talk about, you know, the upsides of the downsides that is the pandemic?
It was quite funny because when the pandemic first happened, I think if you listened to that episode back in March, me and Neha were a little bit like, so we can't do a top 10 because cinemas are shut and we don't really know what we're going to be talking about for a while. So we kind of just really wanted to have a fun vibe. Like, we didn't mention the pandemic at all during our recording sessions. We just wanted like a nice kind of distraction element. And it's been really interesting because the focus has been on the streaming genres, where a lot of those underrepresented voices and stories are told. You kind of have those more low budget independent directors that are really getting their focus. So that's kind of what we've been kind of going through and realizing that, yeah, it's just streaming, but actually, like, has anyone completed Netflix yet? No. So there's a lot on there that maybe has been on our watch list. Like, for me, I used to stack my watch list up, so when I went on a really long plane journey or a train journey, I'd just watch like three films back to back, and we didn't do that. So it was really kind of like our team, like, I found this really obscure film, like, has anyone seen it? And then we all kind of rushed to watch it. So that's kind of how we've kind of juggled looking at the new material that's just been on Netflix for like 2 years and hidden under the radar.
And can you tell us how you started Not Having It All, Karis?
Yeah, it was a project I made because I was moving across the country and I wanted to have a creative project that meant my friends had to talk to me. So I thought, if I force them to speak to me every 2 weeks to record a podcast, I'll get to see them. And then I was looking for like new guest hosts, and I just put a shout out on Twitter, and Neha replied. We'd been mutually following each other for a long time, and we did a few episodes together. And then I was like, do you want to like do this together for like ever? And she agreed.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I really enjoyed the show. And I think it came to your attention when you were listed as one of the podcasts of the week on the Film Stories website. So it's good to hear, you know, your voices week in, week out. And one episode I really enjoyed was you kind of going through the BAFTA rising stars of the past 10 or so years. And that's something I kind of follow and keep a track of, because I think it's really interesting what they're at least trying to do there. And I'm not sure there should be so many American people on there, but hey, that's just me. Maybe, I don't know.
No, it's not you. It's us too.
Same page.
So we're here to talk about Wild Child, which is your choice, Karis.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, first of all, why you chose it? And then I'll get the timer out and you have 60 seconds or less to give us a synopsis.
Oh, why I chose it is because I absolutely love the genre of 2000s films aimed at teenage girls. I think it's a lost art. I'd love to get it back. So I chose it because I still talk to people that have never seen it. I still think it's hilarious. And I just love the kind of combo of American and British high school culture. So that's why I chose it, because I just thought it'd be a funny one to revisit. And the soundtrack is banging.
What are the films falling into that construct? Because my mind just goes blank when you say...
There's a lot.
Give me three. That's the thing.
Three films with that, so to like coincide with Wild Child, you've got like Mean Girls, She's the Man. I'm trying to think of something else around 2006.
She's All That.
Yeah, that kind of very typical, not diverse at all. Like, we're not talking like it's not breaking boundaries here. It is a very vanilla film type. They've all got the same pretty much five-act structure. But yeah, it's just that kind of blonde, skinny American girl having problems. That was just every single film release from 2001 to 2010.
Okay, and do you want to give us a synopsis? And the timer starts now.
Okay, so you've got Poppy Moore, who is played by the wonderful Emma Roberts. She's this very spoiled teenager who lives in America. She trashes her dad's home. She is really nasty to her stepmom, so she gets sent to English boarding school. The boarding school obviously doesn't take her in very well. She's very snooty, very snobby. She doesn't adapt very well to the other students. She gets absolutely picked on by the head girl. So you've got a very Centrillions vibe around it. And she kind of basically goes on this journey where we discover that she hasn't got over her mother's death. So it's a way of her mourning, but also discovering that there's more to life. So it's battling that kind of teenage angst we see a lot in teen films. Obviously, there's a love interest played by the very lovely Alex Pettifer, or as he was in 2007. So we kind of see that battling ground. It's comedy, it's romance, it's self-discovery, and the lovely Natasha Richardson's in it as well, who plays the dream teacher that we all love. And it's got like 2008 pop songs galore.
Awesome.
Did I do it?
Yes. Yeah, the timer is just gone. Well done. Well done.
I need my ass to pump.
Naya, what were your thoughts on Wild Child?
So, unlike Karis, who loves it, I didn't love it so much. So I guess my big... So, I mean, there was a lot. I kind of grew up... My frame of reference for, like, high school movies, and because it came out in 2008, right, was, like, American high school experiences. So not just Mean Girls and She's the Man, but also TV like Lizzie McGuire and That's So Raven and such. So I kind of expected that flavor a little bit. But also I think in 2008, when I was like, it was so easy to hurt my feelings, I just didn't understand why everyone thought British schoolgirls were so bitchy. Like, it just, and it became this trope. So I think that was my biggest issue with it. But I also didn't understand what Alex Pettifer's role was. I think it bothered me.
He's a bit of fluff, isn't he?
Yeah, but exactly, he's a fluff. And actually, maybe there's something to unpick here about how actually it's quite nice to have a man be the romantic fluff and not have it be the woman, because that's something that generally you see stereotypically the other way around. But I just remember watching it and thinking this film could have been entirely about the girls. Like, it could have just been a film about friendship. But it's a light watch. So maybe I'm thinking too much about it. You know, I don't think it's supposed to be something you watch critically. It's just something you're supposed to enjoy. You know, like Karis said, the soundtrack is banging. So it's probably one of those.
This Helen, is why I really chose the film.
You wanted to hear what she had to say about it. Has she been dodging questions about it? Naya, what do you think about Wild Child? Next question. Helen, what has Naya been thinking too critically about it?
I think we're very much on the same wavelength. You know, representation matters. Like, it really, really does. And I think there's just nothing in this film that makes me go, yeah, that's kind of like being a teenage girl for me. Like, you don't really get any, many, like, working class children, teen rom-coms or films that aren't like pretty bleak and children drown in canals, and like that is like working class childhood on film, or you know, it's like Mike Lee or something, or Ken Loach. And yeah, it's either, you know, Americans are all like just horrible and skinny and all they care about is fashion and money, and then British girls are all like stuffy and up themselves. That said, you know, it is kind of fun, sort of, I think, and it was banging to hear Vintage Florence and the Machine on the soundtrack. But
you can't say Vintage Florence and the Machine. That's not vintage.
It is. It's so different to like what she sounds like now. So it was like, oh yeah, this is what Florence and the Machine kind of started out like. And also I am standing up for the chip butty and say, like, butties are much better than that.
I'm not that big a fan of a chip butty. I carb non-feed, but I still think it's a bit weird. But anyway, aside from that, the film is not my favourite.
And you're quite favourable to teen absolutely, films, and like films about kids and gangs in a good way.
I was like, this is a film I've not heard of before. And, you know, I used to read like Mallory Towers, like stuff when I was a kid growing up with Enid Blyton books. I watched the old Century Indians films from way back when, vintage ones. I've not watched the new one with Russell Brand in it. So I was all up for this. I was like, okay, let's see what's going on there. But I think the thing for me is characters. She doesn't really have a redeemable character. The main, I can't remember her name, Emma Roberts' character. She doesn't really have a redeemable personality. She just plays an idiot. And she, until the point that she realizes that her mum went to school. I thought that was a point that right at the start, I thought she already knew that her mum went to school. So that was, for me, was like, what do you mean? What do you mean you've just seen a picture of someone who looks like you, who's your mum? And that's her kind of main redeeming arc. So I just didn't. There's no one I cared for. The Alex Pettifer character was, like you said, now a bit pointless, because he was a bit of fluff, but also he shouldn't have been there at all. It was at our girls' school. What was he doing there all the time?
Yeah, why wasn't he at school?
And then he
turns up for his lunch like at an all girls' school in like a sports car, which is completely normal.
Exactly. What is he doing there? And then you had Nick from Spaced, Nick Frost. With gay face or camp face, which I thought was really, that wouldn't happen now. Although,
yeah, very, very 2000-esque that performance, yeah, wasn't it?
It was really bad. Although we had James Corden do that quite recently in Prom, super camping it up. My favourite character was Juno Temple, but I just think I just like Juno Temple a lot. And I think people like Shirley Henson was kind of wasted in this as well.
So
it didn't really have. I didn't gel with it. I'm sorry. I tried.
Do you know what?
There is like charity shop fashion in it, which I was quite impressed, like promoting sustainable fashion in 2008. So there we go. There's a plus for it.
I think that's the thing. It's always that fish out of water thing. I want them to wear out of that. Oh, this is what I wouldn't do in my place. But she kept on doing it all the way through. It's like, where's Oxford Street? It's in London. It's a different place. It's like, come on, you should know this by now. You should know you're not anywhere near London. If you know about where Oxford Street is, you should know you're nowhere near it. So shut up. It's things like that. There's like, come on.
Yeah, I did like the kind of sticking with how unrealistic the film is. I did like they really leaned into it though. It's a little bit Riverdale-y. Like you've got the fact that she finds out she's really good at lacrosse and then becomes like the lacrosse captain and then saves people from a fire. Like it's just finds out her mom went to that school. Like it's just such a lesson in suspending your disbelief that on some level I have to respect it. Cause I'm like, okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah, I'd never seen anyone on the British Isles play lacrosse. And yet it's in.
I used to play lacrosse.
Really?
My school, we played lacrosse. You played either lacrosse or rugby, and I did a bit of both at the start, and then I switched to rugby. But yeah, I know I played lacrosse, but it was a rarity. Like in our kind of pocket of South Manchester, there's a few lacrosse teams, so our school was one of them. And we used to like send teams to go to Baltimore, which is like the main place in America that plays lacrosse. So it is an oddity. So things like American Pie, I'm like, oh yeah, they play lacrosse there. That's fine. But it's a super rare thing generally. But girls' lacrosse is even rarer. Even more rare.
I feel, I feel like they sometimes throw this in because they're like, oh, is this film going to do well in America? Let's put lacrosse in it. They'll understand that part. Like, yeah.
What about the head girl? What were your thoughts on her? Was she OTT or was it?
I mean, anyone who has a fascination with Pride and Prejudice is always a little bit questionable in my book. And that's coming from someone that does like that film. But she's very like, it's such a Tory film. Like everyone in this film, you can just, I mean, the names, like you've got Freddie Kingsley, Harriet Bentley, like it's all very like Tory-esque. But I've been to school with people like her, like those people are very privileged. They usually have three horses and wanting to be the best at everything. But I thought she was brilliant. Like she was very scary and mean and she was quite realistic. But like at the start, she has a pheasant over her shoulder, which is quite severe. You know, in my school, they just had a fake Louis Vuitton bag over their shoulder, not a pheasant. So
did they give the fake Louis Vuitton bag to the teacher to try and curry favor?
More than likely. But you always had this kind of like teacher's pets that were just too much. But I mean, I went to like very much like your normal school, not so much like this. Maybe they do that. Maybe they give pheasants as presents.
I think the main high school film we've had in the UK is Harry Potter, and it's also a boarding school. So it's propagating this theory that all kids in the UK go to boarding school. I think Helen's right. I can't think of one that's just set in, for a film, that's just set in a standard high school.
No, even like TV shows like now, like Sex Education, God knows where that's set. I mean, they film it in Wales, but the school is very high school-esque with their Letterman jackets and things like that.
I do like how they do Sex Education because it's like, it is definitely British, but also it's like, if you squint a bit, it is, as you say, a Letterman jacket. It could be very much a US high school. And I think they've done that mashup deliberately to kind of get people all behind it because they have like the standard buses and it's a UK countryside, but it is that kind of US vibe. I think you're right, that's probably the closest to it. Now, anything else on Wild Child you want to bring into conversation?
Not really. I do like June. I will just pile on lots of praise for Juno Temple. I'm watching Ted Lasso right now and she's incredible in that.
Yes, she's my favorite.
So I think Juno Temple.
And that's is there anyone else that we want to point out? Teachers, Helen.
Well, I was just going to say, I enjoy reading Letterboxd reviews, and most of the reviews seem to think that this film should have been much gayer and that they should have done away with the guy because he was basically useless, and there could have been like more lesbian love interests and it could have been much better, which I kind of agree with most of Letterboxd on that. He was kind of pointless and it was an all-girls school, like, it's like, come on, surely. It would have made it at least a bit like realistic, so... missed opportunity, I think, there with that one.
And what about her kind of path back to glory? Was that convincing?
She doesn't really have much of an arc. I don't think she has that much of a journey.
She dyes her hair brown.
Oh, yeah. Her natural hair. That wouldn't happen. It's so hard to get your like blonde hair back to that colour.
In the space of, 2 minutes?
But it takes arson for her to realise the like wrongdoings. Like, did not see that coming. Okay, gonna set things on fire.
Karis, I fear this kind of bodes poorly for the scoring for your film. Don't take it personally.
It's totally fine. I have come to peace with the fact I do not have taste when it comes to the 2000 era. It's all good.
But Mean Girls, like, people laughed at me for like recommending Mean Girls when I watched it, and they were like, Kobe, that's a girls' film. This is obviously 2000s where people were stupid. I was like, guys, Tina Fey is fucking amazing, and she goes on to prove that time and time again. But Mean Girls is still like, I think it used to be on Netflix, and I was praying for the time that someone would select it for this. And we've had things like Clueless, which where again, I think that's one of the things as well. We Clueless have that kind of setup of a rich girl, but she has all the heart. She brings like the outcasts into her community rather than like talks about Louis Vuitton and I don't know, Jimmy Choo's. So I think that's the kind of thing that kind of gets my heckles up as well, is that it can come from a position of privilege and be inclusive and not be like, all annoying.
Yeah.
Any other comments, or do you want to head to the scores?
I just think Alex Pettifer, I think this was like he was on this little kind of ladder to possible success. Like he did that film where you played like the boy agent. What was it called again? Like,
it was something like a Stormbreaker, but that wasn't
that's him. It. Yeah. Or yeah. Was it was something like that. But he did that, and then he did Wild Child, and then he did I Am Number 4.
In Time?
Yeah. And then he just disappeared. I've never seen him for a long time. So
I didn't recognize him in this until I saw the credits. I was like, oh, is that Alex Pettifer? Fine. So he is one of those people that is kind of and then nothing. Like Hayden Christensen almost as well. It's like,
yes.
It's like kind of going along. And then Hayden Christensen had the better start. He was in Star Wars and then nothing. So
I mean to feel bad for blonde white men who are very rich and successful, I'm not gonna cry too much over it, but I do think they all hit a peak and then it's just like, nah.
I think you challenged me to think of one who's maybe we'll come up with one in the scores. Should we head to the scores?
Yeah.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have come from the worlds of film, television, music, food, comedy, and podcasting. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliate, San Antonio, Texas.
Welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. All of our scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places if you wish. And we'll start with you, please, Karis, with your recommendability.
So I'm going to go quite low for this because it is very hard to convince people to watch this film. My boyfriend only watched it because it had Emma Roberts in it. So I'm going to go with a solid 2 for recommendability.
Can you explain Emma Roberts? Because I meant to do some IMDb, but I couldn't place her anywhere. What else has she been in?
She started on Nickelodeon, Unfabulous. To be honest, okay. It's nepotism. Her dad's Eric Roberts and her aunt is Julia Roberts. She started on a show called Unfabulous.
Okay.
And then she did a lot of naughty films that she did at Aquamarine. She did this. She did Nancy Drew. And then from about 2010, she did a lot of American Horror Story. And then she did a great film called Nerve about 5-6 years ago. I think that's all I can put her in. I can't remember if you remember anything else in her.
Yeah, I'm not seeing American Horror Story. It's one of my blind spots at the moment.
That was quite a comprehensive biography. So well done on that one. I would have been like, she's related to Julia Roberts.
Neha, recommendability score?
1.
you can go to decimal places if you wish.
I am going to give a straight up 1 for Juno Temple. So I think, it would be mean if I gave a decimal point.
Has Juno Temple done the best out of this film?
I think so. It's sad because the girl who plays Kate, who I think would have been a great love interest for Emma Roberts, I've not really seen her in anything else, and I thought she was brilliant. But yeah.
Helen, recommendability?
I'm going to go for 2 as well. It's kind of a shame that Natasha Richardson, this was like her last film, but to kind of go out in that. It was nice to see her on screen. I mean, it's not the worst film in the world, and it's only like 1 hour and 38 minutes, but I think there are much better kind of team films. But, if that's your bag, go for it. But if it's not, then you probably won't enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 1.5.
I feel attacked.
This is what I was trying to preempt you for. I was like, it's not you, it's the film. I mean, you chose the film, but it's not you, it's the film. 1.5. I probably would have switched this off quite early. I probably would have switched this off at the moment she jumped off the cliff and then her dad sent her to boarding school. The moment she came out of the Rolls Royce or whatever that car was in at the boarding school, that's probably the point I would have switched this off had I not been watching for this. Because I knew exactly what was going to happen and they did. Repeat viewing score. Karis.
I'm not alive. I've watched this film about 20 times. So... I would probably say a solid 4 for me. It's just easy watching. It takes me back to being 16.
I can imagine this being like a favourite amongst friends that they put on.
I think I went to the cinema to see this twice. Yeah. But that was back when cinema was like £4, so it didn't like break the bank.
Neha, repeat viewing score. How many times have you seen this before?
Twice, so I'm giving it 2. I just feel like one for each viewing.
Fair enough. Do you think you'll watch it again?
No.
Okay. Helen.
Oh, yes, it's a no, 0 for me. I'm not going to watch this again. I feel I should be honest. Sorry.
Yeah, I very rarely give a 0. But I can't see. If someone said, should I watch this? I'd be like, you watch it by yourself and then we'll talk about it afterwards. I've got other things to do. Small screen score. I think, this could be the highest.
It's got a lot category. Going for it on this one.
Caris, small screen score.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I did watch this again before this show on my iPad. So mm-hmm. I don't think you need the kind of IMAX experience for Emma Roberts' boarding school story. That could take us only 5, I think. You could probably watch this on an iPad Nano and you'd be fine.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5 too. I never watched it in the cinema. I watched it on like DVD rental and it was fine on the TV. And then I watched it for this show. I watched it on my phone and it was fine. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 5.
Helen.
You know, I've never even heard of this film. Like it's a bit out of my kind of age range for it. And like there has been no way I would have gone to the cinema. So yeah, a 5. Perfect for TV viewing. Perfect for like sleepovers if you're like 13, you can have it on a sleepover or something, 14, 15. I don't know. What kind of age is this aimed at? It's not very raunchy, is it? So, yeah, 13 and upwards, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going for a 5 as well. There's no way in hell you drive me to the cinema for this. So it's perfect for that. Engagement score.
Well, I know I'm going to be very different compared to you guys on this one. I mean, it's something that I'd probably put on and fall asleep to. I don't think I'd be hooked from first minute to the 120th, wherever it is. So I'm going to rate quite lowly on this and go for a 2.
I think you got even lower than I expected. Neha.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 1. Okay. I would have gone for straight up 0, but actually I have a penchant for watching things that are a bit trashy. So I think I would be unfair to give it a 0. So we're going to go with 1.
Helen.
I'm going to be generous and go 1.5. Doesn't feel very generous. Yeah, I zoned out and cleared my inbox, which was productive, I guess. But
well, that's an accomplishment in itself.
And that's another thing. No, at no point did I think that she wasn't going to get her redemption with those emails. It's like, they're going to find out. And also, they kind of found that in a weird, like super, almost like super hacky way. Like, I checked the computer registry and I can work out that blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, you should have done that straight away then, if you knew. If you could do that, you should have done that straight away. But engagement score, I was kind of just waiting. I was just kind of ticking the boxes like, yep, that's going to happen. Fine. Get the guy. Good. So I was kind of just flatline engagement. 1.5. And that gives us an overall score of 2.40625, which is not great. I apologise. Well, I apologise. I'm sorry.
But sorry, we didn't score it higher for you.
It's fine. I didn't make the film. It's okay, guys.
Yeah, it's fun talking about it, though. I've enjoyed talking about it for the past half an hour or so. And it's great. To be honest, it's generally always great to watch a film you've never heard of before. What do you reckon, Helen?
Yeah. I mean, this was a complete new one for me. And I've never seen like Emma Roberts in anything. Is Emma Roberts? Yeah, that Roberts. Yes. Yeah. So it was kind of like, oh, that's who she is. And you know, there were some good songs on the soundtrack. So it didn't anger me or anything. I was just a bit like,
what? It just came to me. The film I was thinking of with Juno Temple, which I really love, is Killer Joe. I think that was the first thing I saw her. And I was like,
amazing.
Yeah. And when I found out she's British, I was like, yes. and she's a Maleficent as well, as one of the fairy godmothers, which is quite fun. Thank you very much, guys, for bringing Wild Child to us and to the listeners. Can you tell us where we can find you online? Tell us the name of your podcast again and your Twitter accounts, and we'll say bye to everyone who's listening.
Yeah, so you can find us online on all platforms. We are Not Having It Not Having It All podcast. On Twitter, we are just Not Having It Pod because Twitter wouldn't let us have the full name. Thanks very much. Yep. And I'm at Karis Rianne.
Me too. I'm at Neha J underscore.
Underscore. Don't forget the underscore.
Don't forget the underscore, or else it'll lead you to someone else. guys, that's super great. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K, Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.